Showcase and Sale features work by over 150 Oregon Potters Association members. It is one of the largest all-ceramic artist shows in the country. The showcase features sculptures, wall art, jewelry, tiles, functional pottery, and more. Again, that's the Oregon Ceramic Showcase, Friday, April 26th through the 28th at the Oregon Convention Center, 777 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Coming up next, Words and Pictures celebrates the glory days of weird amateur television. It's cable access memories time. All of this KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO members and their support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm or use our mobile app and click on Donate.
Good evening, and welcome to the final segment of TVAP's Friday Night Live. My name is Stephen Brown.
And I'm Catherine Ann Adams.
You know, Kathy, we have kind of a very special thing tonight. If you've ever seen West Side Story, it's a show that involves violence, gangs, and a lot of dancing. Well, we're going to show you something tonight that has changed everything that is going on. In other words, it has changed the world. Every major city in this country is doing it. People are doing it in every major city. And we're going to show you a little bit of it tonight because Portland is absolutely no different. Some people call it moonwalking, and some people call it popping.
So, without further ado, we bring you Bad, Bad Breakdancing.
We do have music coming up. We're just waiting for that right now. You know, it's kind of funny because...
That was a clip from a breakdancing demo on Friday Night Live from 1984 on Portland Cable Access. Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm SW Conser, and today I'm joined in the studio once again by Michael Garcia and Avalon Leonetti. Michael and Avalon are cinephiles and comedians who enjoy sharing their love of obscure movies and TV shows with Portland audiences. They invite local comedians to join them on the comedy panel nostalgia trip, Forgotten Fantasies, as well as such events as Saturday Morning Cartoons and Cocktails, and the Mystery Science 3000 style improv show VHS Vengeance. Michael and Avalon, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having us in again.
Yeah, lovely to be here.
So you have brought another comedian in with you today.
Yeah, we brought along Carolyn Main.
Who, hello, thanks for having me.
And she's a regular panelist on our shows and hosts some amazing shows herself, which I'll let her
plug. Thanks. I have a podcast, Pitch Please, where we task contestants to come up with a screenplay in 60 seconds. So that's very fun, and it's a whole illustrated deck of cartoon illustrations of movie cliches. And it's fun to be talking about cartoons with you, Conch, because we're old school Portland, and we've worked at animation studios together.
We have indeed. We have many stories about working in animation studios where we're sharing the space with a legal office that...
That was fun.
That didn't like our shenanigans quite so much.
Feels like those two things would go hand in hand, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't like all the banana peels we left in their briefs.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what our shows are really all about, is great old memories.
Yeah, this is a great place for it. What's up, KBOO?
And full disclosure, the hosts of the show have invited me to be part of their upcoming show. And Michael and Avalon, tell us about the upcoming show that's going to be in Portland on the 5th of May.
Okay, yeah, so on the 5th of May, 5th of May, on May 5th, we'll be doing Forgotten Fantasies, 7 p.m. at Kelly's Olympian in downtown Portland, and this month our special focus will be on public access television, and that is, of course, the reason we've invited you in. And our show specifically is about bringing on guests that have old pop culture memories that had a great impact on them, but they've never gone back to revisit as an adult. So we bring that guest in, watch old absurd clips of those memories, and kind of relive them in real time with the guest in front of a live studio audience. And then we follow it down the rabbit hole and check out some other videos that are similarly themed. And in fact, our special guest this month was Carolyn, and her Forgotten Fantasy was...
Jim Spag, who I can't wait to get into there or here. It was haunting and during my onset of puberty, so that will be great fun for everyone to pack.
Why is this a theme in our show?
Because people be pubin.
Well, tell us about the clip that we heard at the top of the show there.
Okay, that was a clip from 1984. It was a public access show here in PDX known as Friday Night Live.
And it was the two hosts introducing a new trend that was sweeping the nation. What exactly is breakdancing?
I don't know, but Steve Brown and Kathy Adams tried their best, or best of the worst try they could, to walk us through it.
It's really, if you are so inclined, looking up that video on YouTube and just watching the absurdity and the awkwardness is, ooh, it's delicious.
Or even better than looking it up on YouTube, you could come to our show on May 5th and actually watch that clip on the screen.
That's probably a better plan.
Yeah.
So Carolyn here is an old school Portland native, and she grew up on the cable access, late 20th century cable access, mm-hmm. before it got all glitzy, and it's lovely now. It's great that we still have cable access here in Portland. We have Open Signal, which is a fantastic resource for people to learn about to broadcast themselves, expressing themselves, getting out there in the community. But things were very different in the late 20th century.
Yeah, you had to have cable to get cable access, and I didn't. So this is just what I saw in like seedy motels, which was a very special place to watch them. And they all had that VHS grit. It's just filthy, and the subject matter is what makes it filthy. And then there's a return on Fox News that I encountered later that maybe we'll get to. It's a delightful bookend. It's even filthier. It's a journey in filth.
Avalon, you are also a Portland native. Tell us about your experience with cable access.
So at the time, I didn't actually have a lot of exposure to it. Just sort of vague memories of, like you said, grit and filth. Only recently, sort of in our quest for content for these shows, have we found the rich well that is cable access and the amazing, enterprising spirits who have uploaded hundreds of hours of it to YouTube for us to enjoy. It's really quite fantastic.
One of the things that allows what you call the grit and filth is that Oregon has much more protection for free expression than the nation as a whole. So, First Amendment, Portland actually goes further in its protections for free speech.
Based on some of the local cable access we've seen, that makes exactly the right amount of sense.
Yeah, not just freedom of speech, but freedom of loss of clothes.
Yeah, there's some...
Part of my speech.
Myself, I grew up in the sticks of Northern California in the 70s and 80s, so I, too, did not have a lot of public access. Though we did occasionally find some public access shows on the local PBS channels, but mostly it was going back to revisit things in the 90s. And I discovered a lot of stuff trying to go back and revisit a certain late night movie host from the Sacramento area that kind of inspired the whole show, Tom LaBrie, who was a waterbed salesman in Sacramento, and just digging through old clips of Channel 40 where he originated videos kind of led me down the well to finding more local kind of public access and local stars throughout the country.
And he's the sponsor of your show, right?
He is the unofficial sponsor. You will see him in every commercial break. Oh, by the way, our show has very fun commercial breaks with old classic Gonzo commercials from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And he is really the star of the show. Avalon and I just exist to offer him up to our audience.
Yeah, he's a real polyester-clad cocaine pervert, is how I would describe him.
Only the best ways.
Yes, of course.
So many beautiful browns that you can just dive into, seeing the pools of coke and the pools of cocaine in the waterbed.
From beiges to umbers, both burnt and unburnt, such beautiful shades.
Majesty.
I've actually owned furniture he's sold. I've seen him in the commercials.
That's not a surprise.
And I am a lover of beige.
Did he carve his name into your furniture?
No, but he carved little notches into the headboard.
Those were for him to do rails out of.
Yeah.
So, Carolyn, let's go back to the fellow that you want to spotlight during the show on the 5th.
Yeah,
Jim Spag. Tell people who have recently moved to the Northwest.
Which is all of them. Hello, yes.
About this legendary figure, Jim Spag.
Boy, let me tell you. So, there was just this wild time where Oregon was embracing its nudity laws, and I didn't know what nudity was entirely. You know, I knew the female form, such as it was. Because I was like 11 or 12 or 13, and so this is just when it happened. Jim Spag, media titan, decided that he should do an all-nude show. And I know he must not have been the first to do it, probably, but it dealt with erotic themes, but it wasn't erotic. I would be hard-pressed to find someone who got horny about it. It's more just like, what is happening? Like, just a real, old, fat, nude man. Just like putting on a wig and dancing around, and that's the first time I saw what the male business does when it's helicoptering. And it's a lot. It's a lot to learn the male business and then learn the helicopter. I think he definitely is single-handedly responsible for a lot of the weird nudity that has continued to grow in Portland in this day. If he was around, he would be in the naked bike ride. It was just comical, you know, not impressive, but not shameful.
There's a beauty to that, really, a security. Good for him.
Yes, it's like it's preparing me to go to the saunas, to the nude ones to this day, and just be like, you know, you glance at someone's weird nudity, and you're like, okay.
Cool, yeah.
Well, I'm not sure that we can play any on our show for FCC reasons, but let's play a little clip of what is this? This is an exorcism?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a exorcism that I believe played in 1980 on local cable access. And we will be playing a edit of this at this upcoming show.
I'd like to step in and say you've both referred to this as an exorcism. I feel like what listeners are going to hear is a clammy-handed charlatan, you know, doing a bit of a voice, but go on.
Yeah, well, three clammy-handed charlatans, to be exact. It's a husband, a wife, and I believe their daughter, each one possessing a different type of supernatural magic.
What are the odds?
Yeah, right? I mean, it's in the DNA.
Yeah.
They must have really high midichlorians.
All right. Portland Cable Access, an exorcism for you.
Be gone.
For the individuals we work with, or we bring forth information of world affairs or problems, solutions which you would like to discuss. Our presence has been used by many throughout your history in multiple forms of communication. This is only one of them. It is much different than what you perhaps conceived. It is not like we fly throughout the room and move the table. We simply bring forth our presence to teach you of the dimensions and levels beyond this present reality in which you exist.
And we're back in the studio with Michael Garcia and Evelyn Leonetti of Macaque Attack Media. And we're also joined by Carolyn Main, and now Bill Dodge is joining us. Bill is a veteran of Portland Cable Access, as well as a veteran of Words and Pictures. And Bill, welcome to the show.
Hi, good to be back. Yeah, I helped you start this show way back in 2002. Talk about history.
Yes, just full disclosure, I'll be joining Michael and Avalon and Carolyn on the 5th for the Cable Access show of Forgotten Fantasies.
Yeah, this is going to be a very, very special local show.
Yes. So we were talking about First Amendment and free expression, and that was really kind of the touchstone of Portland Cable Access. Was people would come on and they would get a lot of leeway to say whatever was on their minds and do whatever they were interested in doing.
Well, I think there are a few rules in place, but not many, because the politicians, local and federal, knew that the cable companies were eventually going to make a lot of money, and they didn't let them take over huge expanses of property like they do now. They were trying to do an anti-monopoly stance. So in the old days, on the west side of Portland, it was TCI Liberty. On the east side and north and northeast, it was Rogers or Cablecom. At first, there were some stopgaps to keep them from making too much money that are not in place anymore because we have a different set of politicians. The other thing is, just like when a developer comes in and wants to make a bunch of money, they figured, well, since you guys are making some money, you know, imagine this is a realtor and the locals are forcing them to the realtor to build a park. So basically, public access was a bunch of people's, including mine, kind of a DIY public park because they were forced by the local government to do so. They never liked doing it. They told us so too. They didn't like the idea. You know, I figured I was kind of clever as a 22-year-old because I said, you know, you've got future filmmakers in here in training. And I was right. People like Gerald Howard, a great stop-motion animator that worked for Vinton. Many other people got their first taste of editing and cinema in those studios. And there's a bunch more probably that I don't even know about. But Penny Allen's another one, yeah.
So many cities have gotten rid of their public access. The telecoms have come down to them and said, well, you know, why don't you get rid of this? And we'll save you a few pennies every month instead. Right. You know, of course, rates have gone up. Portland has managed to keep its together, but they're really kind of trying to starve them out as much as possible. Now they're asking for outside money as well, whereas it used to be just, hey, cable fees paid for everything.
Well, I think that now we're seeing almost no access to this. However, because of video on demand, a lot of different things that are online, it's a lot easier for people that want to slap together their own TV show to do it without actually going to a local cable company. But I think that was great. I know you guys are mostly concentrating on comedy, but I was just looking at some DVDs in the back room. I was looking at a show called Summer Magic with Billy Rancher and the Unreal Gods from 1983, and a little bit of the first Portland Blues Festival with Curtis Salgado and John Lee Hooker in 1987. Then the other one I have is Oboe Audie from 1986. So a lot of these, I have a feeling, even though comedy is really cool, that and it's great that people are in there experimenting. In fact, our show was called Experiment One, and eventually Where's the Art in 24-Hour Church of Elvis grew out of that. My opinion so far, after looking at these in the vaults, I think that the stuff that's going to hold up a lot more is people like Oboe Audie and Billy Rancher. Not that I dislike comedy. Some of you listeners and viewers would know me as the couch potato, because in those days there was no limit in terms of what we could or could not play. Well, there were some rules, but everybody at that time had a VCR at home, so we just kind of fly in there with these kind of Dadaist experiments that were later kind of used here at KABU for the Dada Fest that we did, where everybody was supposed to bring in a tape, but nobody knew what the other folks are going to bring in, and we just meld all those things together in the sound booth, and you know, sometimes it was an utter failure, and we do it usually at midnight on Wednesdays, and then the stuff would run continuously. I mean, cable made TV go 24 hours, so we thought, well, then that means you should have an automatic machine that runs all these things 24 hours, including SPAG, because channel surfing was a real new thing. It hadn't even been named yet, but everybody's sitting there going, well, I've got 30 channels, and they're just sitting there, especially on a Friday or Saturday night, doing nothing but flipping through and trying to find what was on, you know, and that was why we did the show. The more weird it looked, that we knew they were going to park the remote at least for a second, even if it wasn't a masterpiece.
You had the stoner insomniac demographic.
More or less. And, you know, since it's legal now, the whole show, at least Experiment One, grew out of smoking a joint in the back room. And I said, well, hey, we're in the middle of a TV station. Couldn't you just right now, and this is like 1 o'clock in the morning, can't you just put out anything you want to right now? And he says, yeah, I guess we could. So yeah, I went into the sound booth.
Perfectly with Fourth Mule.
Yeah. This kind of idea that we didn't really know what we were going to do. And maybe because our friends that were actually working there were just as stoned as us, they go, yeah, pretty good idea. So they got out this video. They were always shooting stuff on the river because they could just trot their cameras down there. So Pat DeVries, the guy that was the volunteer coordinator and is responsible for a lot of this stuff, including 24-Hour Church of Elvis, encouraging Stevie to come down, he popped the video in. more or less solarized it. If anybody's seen a Man Ray photo, just imagine a Man Ray solarized, psychedelic-looking photo, only it's moving, and all these people are coming up from the river in bathing suits. And we, I think we put on, which was cutting edge then, PIL, Public Image Limited, with Steve Vai. You know, so we surprised people right away, because we love getting hate mail as well as good letters.
Oh, yeah, hate mail is the best. And the couch potato that you mentioned, this was an actual potato with sunglasses and
yes.
cargo lips. And it was
more or less. It was my lips, yeah.
It was educating kids about classic cartoons.
Well, I wouldn't really say it's a kid show, because it was on usually at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Big kids.
Well, big kids. Kids are the only ones watching Clutch Cargo today. That cartoon is a nightmare.
You'd have to be high just to see that. It is really strange. I have a collection of Clutch Cargo, and I often put that on just to see how long my visitors can stand it. It's a test to see if anybody will ask me to take it off the TV. And it's that very much that school. We would just pick out the potato for that week at the grocery store and go, yeah, that's a good one. And then we had arms in there that were like Mickey Mouse arms and legs, you know, they were popped into him. And he had his own little couch and a little set with a picture of his mom behind him. And it was all set up for
French fry?
Well, yeah. Actually, some of it.
Let's not talk about that.
We did make jokes about tater tots. Those, yeah. Anyway, there was a bunch of jokes about tater tots, and that did get some fan mail just because it was really unusual. And we set it up so it was like chroma key land. So it was all the set was all yellow and orange. And anybody that's done stuff with chroma key knows that white and blue will turn it into an accidental psychedelic picture right away if you don't have that figured out correctly. So the whole idea was to get real human beings to come in and sit down on the couch with me or with the potato, which is not exactly high-tech then or now. But
Yeah, that chroma key psychedelia is probably 80% of public access.
I know.
So you're going to see a lot of it on our show,
well,
guys.
Well, we kind of knew that the viewers were stoned. It's not like all the stuff was chroma key, but the one fan mail I got, and I met this guy too, so other people are just going, Dad, there's just too much bright color in there. Why don't you just tone it down? Sorry, I don't think we're going to be able to. They would set up their lawn chairs as close to the TV as possible after getting the beverage and substances of their choice every midnight on Wednesday nights, and just sit there and go, what are they going to do this time? The thing is, you could sample a bunch of stuff without getting in any copyright problems, and I know that's the difficulty now with access. So if we had something, one of the big influences that you guys probably know about was a kind of a clip show that was new to cable called Night Flight that was on USA at that time, and they were a huge inspiration. They get like a little bit of a Warner Brothers cartoon and then go over to something really weird like punk rock theater with the guy with the rubber face, and there's just a lot of strange stuff on there that did inspire the rest of us to at least try to do collages like that. We would have the lead guitarist from Theater of Sheep, Jimmy Haskett, come down with a keyboard and a bunch of sampling stuff. So we did this really bizarre thing that the night that Salvador Dali died. We got Dali's film, A Soft Self-Portrait, which is a big hit on YouTube these days. You can see the whole thing on there, but it was harder to get 30 years ago. And we thought, God, we got to stick this out there just as a tribute to him when he died, because we kind of considered ourselves junior surrealists anyway.
And you had audiences, as you said.
Yeah, sometimes we'd have studio audiences in there too, because when the first music video we did, which is a great tale, this is when TCI customer service was right above the access studio, and the boss came down to complain about all this noise that was coming from Billy Kennedy is what I meant to say. He said, look, I want to make sure I bring my whole band down, but I have to bring my audience that I'm with every week too. So we brought down about 30 people, and that really didn't sit well with the guys in suits. Why are all those people trooping in there? Since then, you know, they're all bringing instruments in. Well, they're up to no good, you know. And but eventually, after the complaint from the customer service head with a nice tie and suit, he's going, you know, there's too much noise. I have people on the phone upstairs. After he complained and we told him what we were doing, you can see him dancing along with everybody else in the audience with his tie flapping around. He joined the party after he realized that it was not really a big deal. These people were so unused to anything creative being on access. The reason we showed up for those workshops is the only thing that was on there, I swear to God, was Bible Thumpers and Dead Air.
And what year was this?
1980.
Roughly? 80. Perfect.
They when we showed up, they asked us what we wanted to do, and we said art. And really?
Yeah, and some of the other shows with studio audiences were cacophony shows like the Chess Show.
Yeah, where, that was a little bit later, but
would play along with a chess game while all the studio audience was dressed in formal wear.
So we will be watching a couple of clips of the chess show on our show.
I did remember after we were talking about clips, I think the last time I looked, you can see Stevie and Elvis, who's still performing around town, the Elvis impersonator, on the Tonight Show when Jay Leno was hosting it. Jay Leno came with his camera crew to the 24-hour Church of Elvis when it was on Broadway, and got the Elvis with the cardboard guitar out of bed and, you know, tried to convince him to wear some clean clothes because Jay Leno was coming over. The only unfortunate thing...
I'm not getting dressed for Jay Leno. Yeah,
the only unfortunate thing about this is that Stevie's had a lot of problems and was last seen on the street. So, Stevie, if you're listening, I hope you're doing okay. I'm kind of like the last man standing. I'm the only one living with probably most of the tapes still sitting in my closet. Some of them digitized, some of them not. So you guys have really inspired me to go in there and start digitizing some more.
Well, that would be excellent. I mean, not just for people who run shows like us, but I think there's a real
first
for a lot of this information now. As people are getting more and more access to just streaming services that are free and that you can dig through old collections, it's just exponentially growing, you know, the want for these videos.
And we have the benefit of the Oregon Historical Society actually putting some of these old archival videos up on YouTube.
In fact, the Friday Night Live video was posted by the Oregon Historical Society. Their YouTube collection is fantastic.
Shout out, Oregon.
Yeah. Yeah, and you guys really need to check out Wonderballing. It's pretty amazing.
Do we need like an audience maturity warning for that? That sounds filthy.
It just involves Wonder Bread.
Oh, yes.
Well, let's wrap things up by talking again about Forgotten Fantasies and the show that's coming up on May 5th. Is all about Portland Cable Access.
Yeah, that's right. As we said earlier, Carolyn's going to be on to revisit her memories of Mr. Spag.
We're all going to visit those memories.
And Concha, we will have you in there with your wide variety of just information and historical facts of this city. You're such a resource. We are truly honored to have you on the show.
Well, tell folks how they can find out more about this particular show and about other events that you are putting together.
Okay, you can check Forgotten Fantasies out on our website, ffthshow.com. We're also on both Facebook and Instagram at ffthshow. And you can also follow Macaque Attack Media on Facebook if you'd like to do that.
And can spell it Macaque Attack Media.
Oh, yeah.
How do you spell that?
MacaqueAttackMedia. Yeah.
Well, Michael Garcia and Avalon Leonetti, it's always a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And Carolyn Main and Bill Dodge, thanks for joining us today.
You bet. And I'll say howdy to the couch potato for you.
Well, you've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm KBOO. I'm SW Conser. Thanks again to our guests, Michael Garcia, Avalon Leonetti, Carolyn Main, and Bill Dodge.
Yay.
Thanks also to the Oregon Media Production Association for their support and collaboration. And thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. The audio for the show will be available later today on our archive page, kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And you can keep up with us on Twitter, at Words and Picture.
Can you show me something you've thrown away?
It's run by a computer, just like the Church of Elvis is. Please watch carefully. I'm about to begin the procedure.
Can you show me something you've thrown away?
I don't do that very often.
You don't throw stuff away?
Yes, you're looking at the face of Elvis on a tortilla chip.
I see. Is there any salsa that goes with this?
Well, we're in for a real treat. It's a rare appearance by Elvis. He's a cult figure in Portland. There he is right there.
Yeah. Now, Sarah, you perform Elvis music?
Yes.
You perform regularly here?
Yes.
Are you going to do a little something for us now?
Yeah, but just give me a few minutes to...
What kind of work do you do?
I'm a researcher.
What do you research?
UFOs.
Research UFOs. Any abduction?
Not yet, but I hope to. Come here, little wolf, come here, tiger. Tiger, the Blair River. I don't want to be alive.
Well, thank you, Stephanie,
no, thank
for showing
you,
us around. Very, very nice.
And by the way, this is a symbolic handshake.
Oh, thank you.
I don't want to be your teddy
bear. Yeah, there you go.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 8th Annual Healing and Healthcare Blues Inner City Blues Festival on Saturday, April 27th from 5 to 11 p.m. at North Portland Eagles Lodge in Portland. The 8th Annual Inner City Blues Festival is a benefit for healthcare for all Oregon and features performances by the Norman Sylvester Review, the Richard Arnold Trio, the LaRonda Steele Band, and many more. KBOO will be broadcasting the festival on air. Again, that's the 8th Annual Inner City Blues Festival on Saturday, April 27th from 5 to 11 p.m. at the North Portland Eagles Lodge, 7611 North Exeter Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland, time for the noon news.
It's time for the KBOO News at Noon for Thursday, April 25th, 2019. In national news, the Supreme Court has announced that it will consider the question of whether citizenship status will be included on the 2020 census. Some analysts believe the Supreme Court will support the addition of the question, "Are you a citizen?" This is despite warnings from representatives of the U.S. Census Bureau, who say it will lead to drastic undercounts of U.S. populations in certain areas of the country with large immigrant populations. The question has not been included since the 1950s, when it was withdrawn because of the undercount problem. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, who was appointed by Trump, has led the campaign to add the citizenship question to the census. Ross has been accused of violating numerous ethics rules.